you.
More than you wanted to know about Laurel. I have no relationships to disclose that I want to tell you about today. It might be helpful to understand a little bit about who the California Family Health Council is so that you can see how partnerships are working towards increasing information about family planning in the community and addressing health disparities in high-risk target populations. That's basically what we're about. The California Family Health Council, or CFHC, is a nonprofit organization that administers the Title X Federal Family Planning Program for the state of California. We delegate, we have over $20 million that we delegate out to, or allocate out to, 76 delegate agencies throughout the state of California that provide comprehensive reproductive health care services to low-income men and women in the state. This year, we served over 1.2 million clients, and that's about 20% of the whole national Title X program. So we are a big part of the federal Title X family planning program. Aside from actually providing monies to the delegate agencies to provide comprehensive family planning services, we also fund several special projects, they're called special projects, that are targeting the federally designated high-risk populations to address health disparities. High African American infant and mortality, maternal mortality rates, the high teen births to Latinas, and the high unplanned and unintended pregnancy rates. And in the state of California, that's about 50% of all pregnancies in the state are still unplanned, so that's pretty high. And how partnering projects works is that instead of funding the actual Title X provider, we're funding the private nonprofit organization in the community that's already addressing and targeting those high-risk target populations. So we have two special projects going on right now. One is the faith-based project, and we are currently funding seven of those throughout the state. And the other is the special populations project, and we're currently funding seven of those throughout the state. So the target populations that we're addressing are African American men and women and teens, Hispanics, the homeless, teens as a general group, and then migrant workers. For the special populations, we're targeting individuals with disabilities, the Hmong community, which is an Asian community in the Central Valley of California, Native American teens. We have a project in Lake Shasta, the northern part of the state, that is addressing the health needs of Native American teens from 10 different tribes in the Northern California area, Hispanics, and African Americans as well. So you can see that the target groups are very diverse, and the actual grantees are also very diverse. So they're faith-based, which means that they're church-based organizations, and then they're also nonprofit organizations that are targeting those special populations. The partnership projects, the goal of the partnership projects is that we want to increase the awareness of family planning and the access to clinical services by creating partnerships with Title X family planning providers and these faith-based organizations and also the special population organizations. So what happens is that the grants, and they are ranging anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000, so they're very small grants. The money goes actually to the nonprofit group, the church, faith-based group, or the nonprofit organization. They must provide in-house education sessions and counseling services to their clients or their congregation, their parishioners. They must also do education and outreach in the community to increase awareness of family planning and reproductive health care services in the community. And they must also partner not only with their Title X partner, but they must partner with other social service organizations within their community. So we're getting a multiplying effect of just not creating the relationship between the faith-based organization and the special populations organization with the Title X provider, but also creating a network of coalitions and partnerships throughout that community so that they're all getting the same information about the access of information and clinical services at the Title X provider. I'm going to talk a little bit about the faith-based because it's really special and it's very unique. This was started about maybe 5-6 years ago, and we wanted to create allies, further the relationships between our allies in the faith-based community and the Title X family planning providers. We wanted them to partner with a Title X provider within their community, whoever that might be, whether it's the public health department or a Planned Parenthood affiliate or the local community clinic, whoever their local family planning provider was. We wanted for them to provide information in a faith-based setting where they would be in providing medically accurate reproductive health care education, counseling, health education, community outreach and referral for clinical services to the Title X provider. But they're doing it within a faith-based setting, which is really unique. We wanted to put focus on preconception and reproductive life planning. When you're working with faith-based organizations, a lot of times they have some very strong feelings about contraception, about family planning, about abortion, about whether teens should be having sex at all, whether there should be sex before marriage. So they have a whole set of values that they want to communicate to their parishioners and their congregation members. And a lot of times we assume that simply because they're faith-based, they're against family planning, but that's not the case. There are a lot of organizations and faith-based churches, well, that's kind of redundant, churches that are very pro-family planning and are very interested in having accurate information out there within their community. The three-pronged approach for the program is that they must provide comprehensive sexuality information about all the different methods of birth control, including abstinence, just not focusing on abstinence only, and that all of the information about the different methods must be medically correct. So we're not in the position of having them funding them to give out misinformation about family planning. We want them to be able to provide accurate information about the provision of services and how the methods work and where they can go to get it. Besides doing the stuff in-house, they also have to be providing information and education and different outreach activities within their community. And they can do that by doing it health fairs, presentations, media presentations, a wide variety. And it's up to them to determine what kinds of activities they do their outreach with. But the great thing about the partnership is that they can rely on their Title X partner as a resource for factual information, for educational materials. They have staff available with the Title X provider that can assist them in developing program and actually going out and doing those programs. So it's a very strong working relationship. All of the grantees must have a memorandum of understanding with their Title X partner. So that means they actually have a little contract that they have to sign and that they're all on the same page about what is expected of both of the partners. The Title X partner can act as a resource for the faith-based staff, for volunteer training, provision of educational materials. They conduct clinic tours, and they also make referrals for clinical services. The special populations grantees provide the same kind of comprehensive reproductive health education, counseling, community outreach, and referrals, but they're not necessarily a faith-based organization. They're usually nonprofit social service organizations that are already targeting those high-risk target populations. They're already within the community, and they're already well-trusted within that high-risk target population so that they're viewed as a resource already. So what we're doing is having them expand their usual services to include and incorporate reproductive health care information about and clinical referrals to the Title X grantees. We have two grantees that we're funding in the northern part of the state that are focusing primarily on disabled. We have one grantee serving Native American tribes in Northern California. We have one serving the Hmong community in the Central Valley. And we have two grantees serving migrant workers and the homeless, and then one serving African American women in Los Angeles. One of the most essential ingredients for the success of this program has been the focus and the emphasis put on training. Training, training, and more training. All of the grantees receive funds that are dedicated, have to be spent on training of their staff, on their volunteers, and what we encourage them to do is to participate in the Fundamentals of Family Planning, which is a 3-day course, a certification course, that once they're through with that, they actually become certified in the state of California to be a basic health worker and to work in a family planning clinic. So it's basic information about anatomy, physiology, all the different methods of birth control, counseling techniques, everything that you would possibly need to know. And so a lot of these folks, this is their first time that they're being exposed at this level of information. And it's really wonderful to see how the staff, once they go through this training, they just blossom and bloom, and they just have all of this wonderful information that they want to pass out. So it's really great to see them. We also have other educational opportunities available to them through the Center for Health Training, which is the federally funded training. And then we also make sure that they attend a 1-day orientation at CFHC, getting all of the grantees together so they can have an opportunity to network with one another, find out what each other's programs are doing, and they get a really firm foundation of what CFHC is about, what the Title X program is all about, and what is expected of them for the remaining of the year. So that kind of orientation is very important. One of the most important things about the program is the maintenance of the relationship, the partnership relationship. And that can be the most challenging aspect of it, and also the most exciting aspect of it. Besides the memorandum of understanding that they have to have with their Title X partner, they also have to have designated staff on both sides so that everybody knows who the contact people are. We encourage them to have regular meetings, although we don't mandate that they have like monthly meetings or weekly meetings, but we want to make sure that they're maintaining that relationship. We want to make sure that the grantees view the Title X staff as a resource for expertise, for educational materials, and for help in doing whatever it is that they're doing, and that they also view CFHC staff, myself primarily, as a resource as well. We're just not a funding source. We're also a resource for them for training and education and whatever they need to make the program a success. The faith-based community outreach program, here's a little bit of about the numbers, the kind of numbers that we're looking at. For their annual goals, they have contracts and they have a statement of work and they are obligated to perform, reach certain goals. So for the in-house education sessions, the annual goals are for them to reach 960, a minimum of 960 individuals in their in-house education programs. For medical referrals, we want them to have those in-house education sessions should result in a minimum of about 500 clinical referrals to the actual Title X agency. So we actually want to see that there are patients being seen as a result of the educational sessions. In terms of the education and outreach, they have to have a minimum of 1,860 outreach contacts, and that can be done in a wide variety of different ways. And then they also have to create additional partnerships with other nonprofit social service organizations within their community. Could be schools, it could be hospitals, it could be whatever institutions that are important to them. So they have to reach a minimum of 53. At the 6-month level, you can see where their numbers are. They're really going great, and they almost, in many instances, have gone beyond the yearly goal. So they're doing really, really, really well. These are the kinds of numbers that we're looking at. This is for the special populations grantees, and you can see that the community education and outreach numbers are substantially higher, and this is because for the several of the special populations groups are utilizing multimedia. They have radio programs where they're reaching huge numbers of people on weekly radio programs. The Hmong community in Oroville, California has a weekly radio program. So they reach a lot of numbers. So that's one of the reasons why the numbers are so high here. And they're doing very well with their numbers as well. We feel very strongly that the strong partnerships lead to more referrals to family planning services, and this is one way that we can definitely address the health disparities in those high-risk target populations. Partnership activities increase the community awareness and knowledge of the availability of family planning services, and that's the whole purpose of the program. And we see most specifically in the faith-based projects that the relationships create an entree into the family planning provider from a trusted community leader. If their pastor is telling them that they should go to the family planning provider, that means that they feel very comfortable and it's a good place that they can go to and receive wonderful services. The challenges of these special projects is that small nonprofits, and in particular faith-based organizations, require a lot of nurturing, a lot of hand-holding. They are wonderful in terms of their level of commitment and enthusiasm and their willingness to go out there and do whatever needs to be done, but they're a little shy on record-keeping. So they require a lot of technical assistance and a lot of help in doing the reporting, which we need to do for our funding source for the feds. Everybody wants to know what your numbers are. So we've had to develop special intake sheets on how they can track their numbers. They were seeing a lot more people than what they actually were reporting to us. And when we sat down and talked to them about, well, have you counted this amount of group, or how did you get these numbers? We found that they were not really tracking. They weren't counting the heads, and they weren't documenting the heads that they were actually seeing. So maintaining some level of technical assistance with them on a regular basis and reminding them when their reports are due and have you filled out these forms yet is really a vital part of making sure that they're successful. Probably the greatest challenge to these projects is the staff turnover, not only in the Title X provider, but also in the agencies themselves. They're very small social service organizations, and there's a lot of staff turnover. So a lot of times when you spend a lot of time training folk, and then several months later they're gone and all that training is gone too. So then you have to make sure that the new staff that come in are getting trained as well. Another issue with the faith-based group is that if there's a change in the leadership of the organization, the person who was very gung-ho and committed to the program at one point, if that person leaves and they get new people in that are not committed to it, the whole thing will just fold up. So we've had that happen several times where there's been a change in church leadership and the commitment of the organization has just lost it. It's really important to have a clear understanding on both sides of what is expected of both of the partners. So that's really important. The success has been the identification and nurturing of the faith-based allies for family planning providers. That has been a wonderful benefit for the family planning system in the state of California. We really have not really given as much focus as we should have to creating allies, our natural allies in the faith-based community, and they can be wonderful spokespeople for within their other faith-based communities for the provision of family planning services. They're not all anti-family planning. It also provides a very strong and principled voice for healthy mothers, healthy babies, and healthy families, which is what we're all about. And the partnership projects work in addressing health disparities by working directly with the target populations and the community institutions that matter to them. So that works out really well. We also have a very evaluation component to the program, and we utilize two different tools. One is the pre and post tests, and then we wanted to assess the effectiveness of the partnerships. So we have partnership assessments both on the grantee side and then on the Title X side. The challenges to these evaluation tools is that the program activities vary greatly among the grantees. We're not telling them how they should do these activities. They come up with their activities based upon their agency needs and their community needs and what they think is going to work best for them. The quality of the partnership with a Title X partner, some maintain excellent working relationships and others it's a more of a challenge. And the faith-based and the special population grantees are not always familiar with evaluation methods and the what actually needs to be done, or understand clearly that if you're doing pre and post tests, you need to have the same people doing the pre-test as the post-test. So it's a real evolution in terms of their growth and knowledge in terms of the kinds of tools that we use to get information and the kinds of things that they do. But they're very willing to learn. The evaluation tool was based upon five core questions. And what we encouraged the grantees to do it was number one to evaluate all the programs that they do, but specifically to incorporate these five core questions that are related to reproductive health care in our project into the whole gamut of what they do. So they could ask more questions, but they had to ask these five. Do you know of a clinic in your area where you can get low or no cost birth control, STD testing, and other reproductive health services? So we want to get just a basic, you know, understanding, excuse me, of what they know. Would you go to a clinic in your area if you needed birth control, sexually STD testing, or other reproductive health services? Do you have a place where you can go, or do you have an adult that you can talk to about pregnancy prevention, STDs, or pregnancy? We want them to list three different types of birth control methods, and for those faith-based groups, you want to make sure that they mention something other than abstinence. Abstinence is always one of them, but we want to make sure that they list more than that. And what is an effective way to prevent STDs? So those are the basic five core questions that we want to make sure that they ask. So that is the basis of that. In terms of the evaluation summary, we have seven faith-based, five special populations. Two were not, did not receive the proper number of tools back, so we didn't count them in the count. And these are the numbers in terms of the pre and post tests and the numbers that we got back from them. The age of the participants varies a little bit. For the faith-based, the mean age is 23, and we see everyone from 12 to 67 within that age group, so it's a wide, diverse group of people that are receiving those educational materials and sessions. For the special populations, the mean age group was a little bit older. It was 28.3, and then, so for combined, the average age was about 25. The gender of the participants, for the faith-based, the 63% of them were female, 37% were male, so we had more women participating in the faith-based groups. In the special populations projects, it was pretty evenly matched male to female. The languages spoken, the vast majority of them, clear across the board, were Spanish-speaking. And so with the faith-based, 76 were Spanish, 24% were English, and so on. So in the state of California, Hispanics are the majority minority in our state, so that kind of goes along with that. The percentage of individuals that actually know of a clinic, in the pre-test, it was 52%. After the post-test, it was 86%. So there's a nice, giant little leap of information. And then 66 and 86% in the special populations group. So the special populations were starting out a little bit higher in terms of their knowledge of the availability of clinics. And their willingness to go to a clinic, the faith-based 71% as a baseline started out willing to go and jumped up to 91% at the end of the sessions. Special populations, they were a little bit higher, 76, and that jumped up to 88%. And combined, it was 73 with a 89% increase. The percentage of participants who could identify two or three more birth control methods. For the faith-based, they started out at 60%, which is not that bad. But at the end of their sessions, they increased their knowledge up to 91%, could identify two to three. The special population started out a little bit higher, but as you can see, at the end of all of the sessions for all of the projects combined, the level of knowledge was quite high. Those that could correctly answer that condoms prevent sexually transmitted disease, 63% of the faith-based started out knowing that, and 93% ended up knowing that, so that was a nice increase. 68% of the special populations started out knowing that, and 86%. So we had a nice increase of that. So the percentage increase for all of the basic five core questions, 47% increase of knowledge that they now know where a clinic is, 21% increase of willingness to go to the clinic, 28% increase in someone that they can talk to, and 28% increase of knowledge of birth control methods, and 38% increase of knowledge of the utilization of condoms for the prevention of sexually transmitted diseases. The partnership assessments, we wanted to ask them very specific questions about how well their partnership was working. And the results that we got back indicated that the increased access to reproductive information and services among the faith-based and the special populations communities was greatly appreciated and well received. They felt that the CFHC training was very instrumental in helping to get the partners on the same page in terms of basic information about contraception. They viewed their Title X partner as a resource, which is great because that's exactly what we wanted them to do. And they increased their understanding of the partner organization and what the organization did in the community. They also increased the parental involvement, and they were very successful at reaching more youth. So that was very good. The challenges, as I had mentioned before, the change of staff and the lack of staff is always a problem. Establishing and maintaining the relationship could be problematic at times. For those faith-based organizations, understanding the new processes, how to do their financial reports, how to fill in their tracking systems was problematic for them. And just generally increasing the comfort level of the receptiveness to reproductive health care within the faith-based community was a challenge for them as well as dealing with the cultural barriers and the communication and such. One of the things that's most important about this project is that it helped the Title X agencies and the faith-based and the special populations projects frame their reproductive health messages more effectively. So we were very happy about that. And basically, it's been a wonderful success. We anticipate continuing the funding for these two special projects for next year and the following year. That's going to be the end of our current five-year funding cycle with the feds, and we're anticipating incorporating these programs into future contracts. So we'll see about continuing this because it seems to be incredibly successful. So are there any questions or kind of ramble through? Now, I also have some handouts for you in the back of the room that describe very specifically the different grantees, where they are, who they are, and what kinds of activities they're doing. So you can see a little bit more detailed information about the actual grantees themselves. Yes, and you'll have to speak up because this elevation has wreaked havoc with my hearing. So hopefully I'll be able to hear your question.
Yeah, I work for the South Carolina Campaign.
Boy, I can't, so I'm going to walk up to you.
I work for the South Carolina Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy. We kind of do a similar mini-grant process of linking clinics to college campuses. We have a lot of problems with evaluation.
Yes.
It's so frustrating. Do you do any evaluation on gathering clinic numbers from the actual Title X clinics to linking the increase?
Yeah, and it's the tracking of how you track the referrals to the agencies. And so what we have done is worked with the agencies to have in their intake to have them itemize where these patients are coming from. And so we have them add, are the clients that you're receiving, are they from referred from the faith-based organization, are they referred from the special populations budget? So that we can kind of actually tell. You know, the agencies themselves, the grantees themselves, rather the faith-based organization and the special pops, tell us how many people they make referrals for. That's not necessarily how many people actually end up in the clinic receiving services. So there's a difference between the number of referrals that get made and the number of people that actually receive the services. So we try to see, you know, how much of disparity there is between those two. But there is an increase on both sides.
Okay.
So having the intake in the clinic, have it be noted where that referral comes from helps you a great deal. But then that's adding something to your intake form, and that can be a real pain in the to you too.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I have one, Beth, yeah.
Oh, you have one, okay.
Yeah. I want to know what kind of faith-based or which faiths.
Which faiths?
Are participating.
This is surprising because with your topic, the faith-based organizations, there is one Seventh-day Adventist and there are three Catholic-based organizations, and don't tell the Pope. Because the Catholic organizations are dealing with migrant workers and teens, and
boy, they could get in big trouble.
They could get in big trouble, and we know that.
Yeah.
And they're doing it. They're doing it.
That's great.
So, and then the others are evangelical. The two evangelical churches are African American churches. Number One Church of God in Christ and Friendly Church of God in Christ. So one is in Oroville, California. The other is in Oceanside, California. And they service primarily African American the African Americans in their community. So it's very interesting. And Seventh-day Adventist is in Riverside, California. It's a La Sierra University church, and they work with Loma Linda University. So their staff and volunteers are retired or are current professors at the Loma Linda School of Medicine. So their level of staff is extremely high, and they're dealing with the homeless. We have had like the numbers from last year in terms of the homeless that are going through their project have quadrupled in the last year. In the last 10 months, the number of homeless families in Riverside, California have just quadrupled. It's amazing. So it's Seventh-day Adventist, Evangelical Christian, and Catholic.
Any other questions? Okay, I have a question. Do you track, there's a high turnover, the workers, and the workers that are certified through this three-day course,
uh-huh.
Do you track where they go on to find employment after?
If you go through the three-day fundamentals of family planning, you are certified. Now, whether or not those people actually go out and get work in a family planning clinic, we don't know.
Okay.
But what we are most concerned about is their level of information that they take from that three-day training. The vast majority of the individuals who go through that training that are from the faith-based groups are health, what they're called, quote-unquote, health ministers. And they're working within their church as health ministers and resources for the teens and the other congregation members. So, we don't track to find out where they actually go or if they actually ever get a job in a family planning clinic. I would be thrilled and delighted if that were the case, but we don't track that aspect of it. Yeah.
Driving the turnover of the staff, in terms of the turnover in the Title 10,
light in my eyes. The Title 10 provider staff turnover is related to the economy and people come and go. In terms of the faith-based groups, the vast majority of them are volunteers. Sometimes when they're volunteering, the amount of time they're volunteering is related to the fact that they're not employed. If they get employed, then the hours that they work within the special project, their numbers decrease. And they move on to other things. So sometimes the health volunteer has one idea of what it is that they should be saying, and then when they go through the training, they realize it's not a good fit for them, and they leave. Or they withdraw from the program.
Okay, so. I want to, just before you ask your question, and I'm going to give you time to ask your question, I also want to open the floor up right now for questions on the other two presentations as well. So if you have questions on anything that you've heard here today, you can ask them at this moment. And we'll start with you.
I just have another question.
For me?
Yeah.
Okay.